We've just sung the words of Psalm 23, in which we confess the chief shepherd, in which Peter talks about in his first epistle. So if you would turn with me now to 1 Peter 5. 1 Peter 5, we'll read the first five verses. And here we have three commands which will outline our service this morning, our sermon this morning. Now, I recognize that as I wrote this, the first four verses are addressed to the elders, and it is important for us to consider that as God, first of all, commands the elders to live in a certain way and to lead and shepherd the flock. But secondly, in light of that, he calls the younger to submit to that authority, to give them the honor that is due them as God leads through them. And finally, he addresses the entire groups, both elders and the younger, saying that we need to be humble in all our actions, to clothe ourselves with humility. So that will be our outline this morning. But now let us look at the words of God. Hear now God's holy word, 1 Peter 5, verses 1 through 5. Therefore I exhort the elders among you, as your fellow elder, and witness of the sufferings of Christ, and a partaker also of the glory that is to be revealed, shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but voluntarily, according to the will of God. And not for sordid gain, but with eagerness, nor yet as lording it over those allotted to your charge, but proving to be examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. You younger men, likewise, be subject to your elders, and all of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. For God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So far, our reading in God's holy word. Sheep of Jesus Christ. Yes, I'm talking to you, congregation. You are sheep. The word of God regularly calls His people, sheep, a flock. Those dumb, very needy creatures that are spread across our countryside. We are those creatures, as God often references us as. We are those rather defenseless sheep who, toward their enemies, the worst they can do is maybe a little kick, or a very hard pinch, as they don't even have upper and lower front teeth, just lower front teeth. Sheep are completely dependent. They need shepherds to lead them, to feed them, to protect them from wild animals. New Zealand is a very unique place and a good place for sheep because there is not much need for protection against predators. They're not much out there that would harm these sheep. But it is this very metaphor that moves Jesus to great compassion in Matthew 9. Keep Ezekiel 34 in your mind as you hear Matthew 9, 35 and 36. It says, Jesus was going through all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. Seeing the people, he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and dispirited, like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus is that great good shepherd. And that is why we can say with David in Psalm 23, Lord, you are my shepherd. I shall not want, I shall be content in all the things that you have given to me, because you are the one who bore on the cross my sins. It is by your wounds that my wounds are healed. Even though I reviled you as an enemy, I turned away from you in my sin. You did not revile in return. Instead, you died for me. You provided for me. You protected me from all my enemies. But Peter says, though Jesus Christ is our great, good, chief shepherd, you are still in a world in which you face great enemies. There is still suffering about. There is still difficult times. There is still treachery. There are predators. As verse 8 talks about, the devil who prowls around like a roaring lion seeking for someone to devour. As we have seen in the previous chapters as well, the people face a society in which does not care for the teachings of Scripture, does not care for the sheep, does not really love them as Christ loves them, and reviles them and persecutes them. So what is sheep to do? Well, Peter says that we have that great chief shepherd, but he has also appointed under-shepherds. He has appointed elders from among you. Some of you will lead and guide. You will protect these sheep. You will have rule over them. He commissioned 11 of them to make disciples of all nations, to gather these sheep into the flock, to point them to the narrow gate, Jesus Christ, that they may come in and find protection with God, to find healing and green pastures. Now, as I mentioned in the beginning, this is an address that is heavily weighted toward the elders. But that does not give the rest of us reason not to listen. For each of us must recognize the role of the shepherd so that we can understand and pray rightly for them. For the task that is set before them is great, and they need your prayers. They need, as Peter goes on, your submission to lead and guide you, to help protect those sheep who, as we also sing, are prone to wander, easily frightened. And so we need your help as elders, as pastors, as shepherds of the sheep. And so let us look at this gospel command under the theme, God's word commands that his people be shepherded by elders. God's word commands that his people be shepherded by elders. And as I mentioned before we read the passage, we will look at 3 points being those commands. First of all, to shepherd the sheep. Second of all, to submit to the elders. And finally, to clothe yourself in humility. And so first of all, Peter addresses the shepherd or the elders. Who are those elders? Let's look at that description in verse 1. He says, therefore, I exhort elders among you as your fellow elder and witness of the suffering of Christ, and a partaker also of the glory that is to be revealed. The first thing Peter draws out is that there is a unity between these elders, those instituted to lead the office. And he says, you are like me in certain ways. You are to fulfill the same command that was given to me by Jesus Christ. Remember those words in John 21, 14 through 17, if you would turn with me there. Look at those words in which Peter is restored to Jesus, but also commissioned to fulfill his duty. What is his duty? If you look at John 21, 14 through 17, it says, this is now the third time that Jesus was manifest to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. So when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my lambs. He said to him again a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, shepherd my sheep. He said to him a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, tend my sheep. And so Peter says to these elders, you too, I am a fellow elder, but you too must shepherd the sheep. I am unique in my apostolic authority as I witnessed the sufferings of Christ. I saw him as he grieved in the garden. I saw him beaten. I know his sufferings. But you, too, follow in my office. Follow by tending my lambs. Look to him. Or follow me in my example and tend the sheep. And so Peter recognizes a certain authority that the elders have. That they are called to a specific task that even he himself received from Jesus Christ. And Jesus rules and reigns his sheep through shepherds. Shepherds who are instituted by God. And so what are they to do? What does this word, shepherd the sheep, mean? He commands that these elders shepherd the sheep. What is the task of an elder as a shepherd? Once again, if you would turn with me back to Ezekiel 34, we can see the comparison. As God calls these shepherds to account that are not doing the work of shepherding as they are called to do, but also he says how I will fulfill that call. First of all, in verse 2, he says that the shepherds fed themselves. They were bad shepherds. They were condemned because they had been feeding themselves when they should have been feeding the flock. And then God goes on to say in verse 14 that I will feed them in a good pasture. I will give them nourishment for their lives, these sickly sheep that need food. They will have good grazing ground and feed in rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. And then he says that I will set over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he will feed them. He will feed them himself and be their shepherd. We know that Jesus in John 1 says that he is the Word of God. And these great feeding grounds that the elders need to continually lead the sheep to is a remembrance of Jesus Christ and his work, his calling upon your life. They are to continually comfort you in the healing power of Jesus Christ. They are to continually to call you to account, to repent and believe in Jesus Christ, to turn away from your sin, but look to Jesus to strengthen you in that by his Spirit, to know the way in which you are to go by his very word, the commands that Jesus Christ had given to those apostles, that you would be disciples, knowing the way in which to go. So that's the second way in which they are called. For these sheep were scattered. They needed a leader, someone to bring them to these pastures, to gather them up by God's word, to show them the way, to bring them to the narrow gate, Jesus Christ, so that they would know the way and they could find that nourishment. And in verse 15, God promises to lead them to that place of rest, where they could rest and be protected from their enemies, protected even from those within the flock. Notice those words in 17 and following, where he says, "It is as for you, my flock, says the Lord, behold, I will judge between one sheep and another, between the rams and the male goats." There are times in which those in the congregation begin to abuse one another, and the elders must judge and call them to account, to judge rightly by the word of God and to protect those who are weak, the sheep, and to call those who are straying back, to call those who are abusing to quit. And so Peter tells them that they are to exercise that authority given from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd who holds all authority. All authority is given to me, Jesus says. And that is why he is able to call all these congregations to submit in those different areas, as he has done earlier, to the government, to their bosses, to the husbands, and even now to the elders, those who are called amongst us to lead and guide and to feed. And they are to seek to bind up those broken, to help them come and see Jesus Christ as the one who heals their wounds. How then does Peter tell them to do this work? If you would turn back to 1 Peter 5. He gives these three comparisons. He says that they are to exercise oversight. They are to look over them and know their flock. And they are to do this not under compulsion, not under force, but voluntarily. It is the same exact concept that is given in 2 Corinthians 9, in which the people of God are called to give willingly and cheerfully because God loves a cheerful giver. Don't give merely out of duty because it is a command, but do with a cheerful heart. The elders need to do this with a cheerful heart, a willing heart. Sometimes elders come recognizing the duty that they are called to do. It is a hard thing. But God calls them to do it with care and love, as a good shepherd. And these are reasons why the shepherds need your prayers too. They need to be reminded regularly to do this willingly because of what God had done for them, because they are following in the example of Jesus Christ. and to go about it willingly serving him, even though they may meet abuse from the sheep. They must do this from a willing heart and not merely out of duty. We cannot force men to serve. But in Paul in Timothy says that the office of elder also must be a desired position. It is a good thing to desire that position as you serve the Lord in the church and the flock. The next contrast is that they are not to serve for sordid gain, but with eagerness. Once again, I think we can look back at Ezekiel 34, thinking about how those bad elders worked. They were clothing themselves with the wool of these sheep. They were leaving the diseased and broken, and they would feed even on the flock, it said. They were bad shepherds because of these things. They were abusive. They gained from the flock rather than caring for the flock and shepherding them. Paul does remind us that a laborer is worthy of his wages. But it must be not, these things must be, not be done out of greed and excess and abuse toward the sheep. Next, the shepherds are called not to lead in these severe and domineering ways. Again, in Ezekiel 34, that description of the elders being domineering and scattering the sheep were images that would have called to mind to the Israelites those days in which they were abused by the Egyptians, that they were under slavery to these Egyptians, forced into labor, that they were whipped and beaten to do that work. But instead, the shepherds are to be examples among the flock. They are to lead from amongst them. They are to lead to those allotted around them that God has appointed and apportioned to them, as it says. So, beloved people of God, sometimes I think our view of eldership gets easily distorted. Sometimes we begin to think of the elders as merely an administrative body rather than an agricultural shepherd. For elders are called to be shepherds of the flock. Their primary duties is not to make decisions about carpet colors and overhead projectors and all these things. Their primary task is to care for the flock. Their primary task is to feed and lead and protect the sheep out of love for Jesus Christ and the sheep. This is a heavy task, a hard task. And at times, a wearying task. But we know that we can look to the Lord Jesus Christ to strengthen us in that call. That He is the one that provides, because we cannot do it on our own. But He is the Good Shepherd. And so we look to Him. And we recognize this also comes with a reward. Verse 4 says that, "And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive an unfading crown of glory." The Greeks would put upon those with honor a wreath made out of leaves. And these leaves obviously would fade away and die with time. But God says the honor for an elder will never fade. It will continue on. And the chief shepherd is the one that gives it to them. Now, the next command goes on to young men, or you younger men, as verse 5 says. But this command grows out of that primary command of elders. And some of you may try to argue that this eldership is just saying, oh, the older people ought to submit, or the younger people ought to submit to the older people. But as Peter has said, this is a very distinct calling and task, just as the apostles were called and commissioned by Jesus Christ. And so what he is really saying here is that elders, those appointed, ought to lead and shepherd the flock and the rest. Those younger, in contrast, the sheep, you might say, ought to subject and submit to the elders. Our translation has taken liberty to put younger men in here. But it is not necessarily men. It merely says, you younger, likewise, be subject to your elders. And so the younger, the rest of the flock, needs to submit and listen to God, or listen to the elders as they lead and guide in what Jesus has called them to do. Remembering once again that that authority comes from Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd. And so as you submit to them as you would to serve the Lord. So people of God, you are called to submit to God, to your elders. And too often, we pay lip service to those vows that we have made. That vow that we made in profession of faith. Do you promise to honor the office bearers of the church? And if you become delinquent in doctrine or life, submit to their admonition and discipline. So easily we break those vows. When they come to us and we just assume that they are being domineering or harsh, they come to us trying to lead and guide us to come to the second service to say, come, feed, because it is good for you. It is food for your soul. It is nourishment that is good. And those shepherds, when they exercise the keys of the kingdom, we ought to listen to their call to repent and believe. They bring the word of God to you. It is not what they say. That is why they go according to the will of God, as it said in verse 2. And so we ought to submit to the eldership. There is a plurality of men, many, as it always talks, that elders among you lead and guide. And so we, even as elders, submit to one another. Another trend that seems to be hitting our world is to never willingly submit to a church. Never actually submit to any sort of elders. Never become members of a flock, of a congregation, of a local body of believers. The shepherds need to know the sheep in their care. They need to hear those words of confession and truth saying that, yes, I submit to these elders as I would serve and submit to the Lord. Membership helps the elders to know that you are believing Christians, willing to submit and to be guided and shepherded, and that we can use those means in which God has given us to lead and guide you as sheep. And so we need to submit ourselves lovingly into a flock and a congregation. But Peter goes on. He gives this final command that says, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. For God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. People of God, elders and the flock, the younger, all have no reason to be proud. Each and every one of us need God's grace. We need God's strength, and we look to Him in dependence, as He is our great, good God who shepherds us. And so, elders and congregation, sheep, we must be humble toward one another, not proud, not arrogant, but loving, as He's been going on. For all of us, as we read in Isaiah 53, have gone astray, each turned to his own way, and we all need Jesus Christ. And so, sheep of the Good Shepherd, submit to the under-shepherds. Serve them with love and prayer and humility. Honor them. Elders, submit to the chief shepherd and serve the sheep by being an example to them, caring for them, binding their wounds, gathering them in, feeding them in the Word of God, protecting them from predators and the abusive within the congregation, and point them to Jesus Christ, the chief shepherd who has served us in humility. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have given Jesus Christ, who sacrificially feeds us, Himself, that we might be nourished by His flesh and blood, that we might have His revelation in the Scriptures, that we might know Him and hear His call to come, all who are weary and heavy laden, for you give us rest. Lord, we ask that you would strengthen and help those under shepherds, that you would also rise up men from among us that would willingly serve and eagerly serve and be good examples to the flock, that they too might shepherd us. And so we ask, Lord, that you would provide what we need in the midst of this crooked and perverse world and generation. This we ask in Jesus' name alone. Amen.